You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I've been thinking about it and I've come to the conclusion that the Virgin Mary certainly would not fit in American society today. And here's why. If there's anything that we Americans like, desire, crave, it is speed and it is action all the way. Our motto might as well be something like this: if at first you don't succeed, then try again. There's a kind of effort optimism that we have about ourselves. When in doubt, do something. Even if it's wrong, just do something and do it fast. Do you feel the need for speed? I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I have to do is live or die, and I'm in a hurry, and I don't know why. And so it is that we text and we Twitter and we go to Burger King and other fast food places, and we want a faster modem for our, so we can get our emails in faster and send them out, and we text and we have YouTube and MyFace and I don't know what all. And pretty soon, if you think about it, that's just who we are. That's what we have become. That's us. And yet the Virgin Mary was quite a bit different, if you think about it. She had a lot of commotion going on all around her and in her life at that first Christmas. Getting to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn, a stable, a strange place to have a labor and delivery. And then the visit by the shepherds from the hills, and then the commotion in the streets. And yet, how did she handle all of this fast-paced action kind of business? But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We need to get back to that age-old art of pondering things, of mulling things over in our mind, of giving serious consideration, thoughtful consideration to the great mysteries that God has laid out before us. And so today, I want you to slow down, and I want you to think, and I want you to ponder, and maybe you can come away with a truth that you already know, but maybe refreshed. And maybe you can come away perhaps with a new thought that you hadn't mulled over in your mind before. So I'm going to read now the words of our text. And I want you to think about baptism. I'm thinking mostly about infant baptism, but think about baptism and see if you can't find those descriptions of baptism in our text from Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Did you hear those words which pertain specifically to baptism? He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And so let's just ponder this thought. What is the connection between birth and rebirth, which is holy baptism? And so I've been thinking about this, and for whatever reason, I can't really remember when I was born. And so I phoned my mom and I asked, "Mom, tell me about the events of my birth." And she said, "It was in December. We were living on the reservation. Your father was out of town. It was a heavy snow. The roads were becoming impassable. Granddad, who had delivered many children before, he was a missionary, he decided he didn't want to deliver me. And so got in the car, through a heavy snow, went up to 7,200 foot elevation to a little sawmill town called McNary, where there was a doctor and a clinic, and there I was born. Mom said that the old dilapidated room that she was in had a broken window and the snow was blowing in and accumulating on the foot of the bed. So that's the story. Now I got to thinking about it. There are a couple interesting points as I ponder this. And the first point is that I was really very passive when it came to my birth. Grandpa was active, Mom was active, the doctor was active. The doctor said to Mom, "Push." She did. I didn't. I probably would have just stayed where I was, very content. So I really had no real part of that whole episode. And another thought comes into my mind, and that is I don't remember that event. But if I pinch myself, I know I'm alive, so I know that at some point I was born. Can you remember your birth? Can you remember your baptism if you were baptized as an infant? But yet, you are here, and you were born, all because of something that seemingly was taking place outside of you. Now, let's look at rebirth for a minute. I went to my baby book, and I found out that a couple weeks after I was born, I was baptized on Christmas Eve, and my mother put a notation in my baby book, "I was so happy that you slept through the entire ceremony." You know, I was passive. I had no part of it. I didn't will it into being. And it just sort of took place apart from me. And I certainly don't remember that either. I was sound asleep. But I know I'm a Christian, so I know I was baptized. And so I did come to faith at some particular point. So there are similarities between birth and rebirth, but there's one huge difference. And that huge difference is simply this, that when I was born in my transgressions and sins, and I would have been consigned to hell forever. But then I was reborn, and faith was created in my heart. And God showed his love for me, made me his own dear child, and now I'm going to heaven. That's the real difference. And so as we ponder these things, could it be that all of the greatest and most significant blessings that ever come upon us take place external to us? That we are simply there as the recipients and we get all of the benefits and yet the hard work was not upon us? I want you to hear again the words of our text, and I want you to think about God and what he's doing and us. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out for us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." Did you listen to that comparison? Kindness and love and mercy, that's what God did. And what did we do? No righteousness on our part, it says. You go a little deeper, it says he saved us. It also says we didn't save ourselves. It says he justified us and made us heirs of eternal life, and we just are going along for the ride, so to speak. All of the great and glorious salvation facts and concepts really show that it is God who is active. And you know, if you think about it, it shouldn't surprise you. Just think about this. Long before you were conceived, in fact, 2,000 years before you were conceived, God already wanted you saved. And so he sent his son into this world to live a perfect life for you who hadn't even been conceived, much less born or lived yet. And not only that, but God's son willingly went to the death of hell on a cross for your sins. Wait, for your sins? You hadn't been conceived or born. How could that be? He looked ahead at your sins, and he paid the price way in advance for all of your iniquities and my iniquities before we could ever even realize what was taking place. And then at one point in history, God said, you know, now is the time to bring that individual into this world, and so you are conceived. And he picked the time for your birth, and you were born. And then, at baptism, what a gracious gift of salvation. Even though you were spiritually screaming and kicking against it, God said, you're mine. I'm going to make you my child, and you will be with me forever in paradise. If you think about it, going to heaven one day is going to be almost like another birth. You're going to go to sleep, and then you're going to wake up, and you're going to be sitting at that table with Jesus and all the saints and the believers, and there's going to be joy and happiness forever and ever throughout eternity, again, all because of God. And so, like Mary, let's keep these thoughts in our minds and ponder them in our hearts. Amen. Please rise. Would you please turn to page 161 in the front part of your hymn book? Page 161. And there on the very bottom of the page, the very last sentence, you'll see the collect for the day 109, and it continues on the next page. Let us pray this prayer together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your blessed word and your holy baptism, you have mercifully cleansed all who believe from the fearful leprosy of sin, and you daily grant us your gracious help in all our needs. We beseech you so to enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may never forget these your blessings, but ever live in your fear and trusting fully in your grace, we thankful heart continually praising and glorifying you through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the hymn. You may be seated.